Rita Skimaker, he said. She would be a random example. Blake paused, and Lamar reached down to the floor and came up with a thick file from her briefcase. She slid it sideways. Blake opened it and turned pages, traced down a long list with a thick finger, and nodded.
Okay, he said. What happened with Miss Skimaker?
She was Lieutenant Skimaker, Reacher said. Fort Bragg, Georgia. The guys called it hazing. She called it gang rape.
And what was the outcome?
She won her case. Three men spent time in the glasshouse and were dishonorably discharged.
And what happened to Lieutenant Skimaker?
Reacher shrugged again. At first she was happy enough, she felt vindicated. Then she felt the army had been ruined for her, so she mustered out.
Where is she now?
I have no idea.
Suppose you saw her again someplace. Suppose you were in some town somewhere and you saw her in a store or a restaurant. What would she do?
I have no idea. She'd probably say hello, I guess. Maybe we'd have a drink or something.
She'd be pleased to see you.
Pleased enough, I guess.
Because she would remember you as a nice guy.
Reacher nodded. It's a hell of an ordeal, not just the event itself, but the process afterward, too. So the investigator has to build up a bond. The investigator has to be a friend and a supporter.
So the victim becomes your friend.
If you do it right, yes.
What would happen if you knocked on Lieutenant Skimaker's door?
I don't know where she lives.
Suppose you did. Would she let you in?
I don't know.
Would she recognize you?
Probably.
And she'd remember you as a friend?
I guess.
So, you knock on her door, she'd let you in, right? She'd open up the door and see this old friend of hers. So she'd let you right in. Offer you coffee or something. Talk a while, catch up on old times.
Maybe, Reacher said. Probably. Blake nodded and stopped talking. Lamar put her hand on his arm and he bent to listen as she whispered in his ear. He nodded again and turned to Deerfield and whispered in turn. Deerfield glanced at Kozo. The three agents from Quantico sat back as he did so, just an imperceptible movement, but with enough body language in it to say, "Okay, we're interested." Kozo stared back at Deerfield in alarm. Deerfield leaned forward, staring straight through his glasses at Reacher.
"This is a very confusing situation," he said.
Reacher said nothing back, just sat and waited.
"Exactly what happened at the restaurant?" Deerfield asked.
"Nothing happened," Reacher said.
Deerfield shook his head.
"You were under surveillance. My people have been following you for a week. Special Agents Poulton and Lamar joined them tonight. They saw the whole thing."
Reacher stared at him.
"You've been following me for a week?"
Deerfield nodded.
8 days, actually."
"Why?"
"We'll get to that later."
Lamar stirred and reached down again to her briefcase. She pulled out another file, opened it, and took out a sheaf of papers. There were 4 or 5 sheets clipped together. They were covered in dense type. She smiled icily at Reacher and reversed the sheets and slid them across the table to him. The air caught them and riffed them apart. The clip dragged on the wood and stopped them exactly in front of him. In them, Reacher was referred to as the subject. They were a list of everything he had done and everywhere he had been in the previous 8 days. They were complete to the last second, and they were accurate to the last detail. Reacher glanced from them to Lamar's smiling face and nodded.
"Well, FBI tales are obviously pretty good," he said. "I never noticed."
There was silence.
"So, what happened in the restaurant?"
Deerfield asked again. Reacher paused. "Honesty is the best policy," he thought. He scoped it out, swallowed. Then he nodded toward Blake and Lamar and Poulton. These law school buffs would call it imperfect necessity, I guess. I committed a small crime to stop a bigger one happening.
You were acting alone?
Kozo asked. Reacher nodded. Yes, I was.
So what was Don't Start a Turf War with Us all about?
I wanted it to look convincing. I wanted Petrosian to take it seriously, whoever the hell he is, like he was dealing with another organization. Deerfield leaned all the way over the table and retrieved Lamar's surveillance log. He reversed it and riffed through it.
This shows no contact with anybody at all except Ms. Jody Jacob. She's not running protection rackets. What about the phone log?
You're tapping my phone? Reacher asked. Deerfield nodded.
We've been through your garbage, too.
Phone log is clear, Fulton said. He spoke to nobody except Ms. Jacob. He lives a quiet life.
That right, Reacher?
Deerfield asked.
You live a quiet life?
Usually, Reacher said.
So you were acting alone, Deerfield said. Just a concerned citizen. No contact with gangsters, no instructions by phone.
He turned to Kozo, a question in his eyes.
You comfortable with that, James?
Kozo shrugged and nodded.
I'll have to be, I guess. Concerned citizen, right, Reacher?
Deerfield said. Reacher nodded, said nothing.
Can you prove that to us?
Deerfield asked. Reacher shrugged.
I could have taken their guns. If I was connected, I would have, but I didn't.
No, you left them in the dumpster.
I disabled them first.
With grit in the mechanisms, why did you do that?
So nobody could find them and use them.
Deerfield nodded.
A concerned citizen. You saw an injustice. You wanted to set it straight.
Reacher nodded back.
I guess.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
I guess, Reacher said again.
You don't like injustice, right?
I guess not.
And you can tell the difference between right and wrong.
I hope so.
You don't need the intervention of the proper authorities because you can make your own decisions.
Usually.
Confident with your own moral code.
I guess.
There was silence. Deerfield looked through the glare.
So why did you steal their money?
He asked. Reacher shrugged.
Spoils a battle, I guess. Like a trophy.
Deerfield nodded.
Part of the code, right?
I guess.
You play to your own rules, right?
Usually.
You wouldn't mug an old lady, but it was okay to take money off a couple of hard men.
I guess.
When they step outside what's acceptable to you, they get what they get, right?
Right.
A personal code.
Reacher shrugged again, said nothing. The silence built.
You know anything about criminal profiling?
Deerfield asked suddenly. Reacher paused.
Only what I read in the newspaper.
It's a science,
Blake said.
We developed it at Quantico over many years. Special Agent Lamar here is currently our leading exponent. Special Agent Fulton is her assistant.
We look at crime scenes, Lamar said. We look at the underlying psychological indicators and we work out the type of personality which could have committed the crime.
We study the victims, Fulton said. We figure out to whom they could have been especially vulnerable.
What crimes? Reacher asked. What scenes?
You son of a bitch,
Lamar said.
Amy Callan and Caroline Cook, Blake said. Both homicide victims.
Reacher stared at him.
Callan was first, Blake said. Very distinctive M.O., but one homicide is just one homicide, right? Then Cook was hit, with the exact same M.O. That made it a serial situation.
We looked for a link, Fulton said, between the victims. Not hard to find. Army harassment complainants who subsequently quit.
Extreme organization at the crime scene, Lamar said. Indicative of military precision, maybe. A bizarre coded M.O., nothing left behind, no clues of any kind. The perpetrator was clearly a precise person, and clearly a person familiar with investigative procedures, possibly a good investigator himself.
No forced entry at either abode, Bolton said. The killer was admitted to the house in both cases by the victims. No questions asked.
So the killer was somebody they both knew, Blake said.
Somebody they both trusted, Bolton said.
Like a friendly visitor, Lamar said.
There was silence in the room.
That's what he was, Blake said. A visitor. Somebody they regarded as a friend. Somebody they felt a bond with.
A friend visiting, Bolton said. He knocks on the door. They open it up. They say, hi, so nice to see you again.
He walks in, Lamar said. Just like that.
There was silence in the room.
We explored the crime psychologically, Lamar said. Why were those women making somebody mad enough to kill them? So we looked for an army guy with a score to settle, maybe somebody outraged by the idea of pesky women ruining good soldiers' careers and then quitting anyway. Frivolous women driving good men to suicide.
Somebody with a clear sense of right and wrong, Bolton said. Somebody confident enough in his own code to set these injustices right by his own hand. Somebody happy to act without the proper authorities getting in the way, you know?
Somebody both women knew, Blake said. Somebody they knew well enough to let right in the house, no questions asked, like an old friend or something.
Somebody decisive, Lamar said. Maybe like somebody organized enough to think for a second and then go buy a label machine and a tube of glue just to take care of a little ad hoc problem.
More silence.
The army ran them through their computers, Lamar said. You're right, they never knew each other. They had very few mutual acquaintances, very few. But you were one of them.
You want to know an interesting fact? Blake said. Perpetrators of serial homicide used to drive Volkswagen Bugs. Almost all of them. It was uncanny. Then they switched to minivans. Then they switched to sport utilities. Big four-wheel drives, exactly like yours. It's a hell of an indicator.
Lamar leaned across and pulled the sheaf of papers back from Deerfield's place at the table. She tapped them with a finger.
They live solitary lives, she said. They interact with one other person at most. They live off of other people, often relatives or friends, often women. They don't do much normal stuff. Don't talk much on the phone. They're quiet and furtive.
They're law enforcement buffs, Bolton said. They know all kinds of stuff. Like all kinds of obscure legal cases defining their rights.
More silence.
Profiling, Blake said, is an exact science. It's regarded as good enough evidence to get an arrest warrant in most states of the Union.
It never fails, Lamar said.
He stared at Reacher, and then she sat back with her crooked teeth showing in a satisfied smile. Silence settled over the room.
So? Reacher said.
So somebody killed two women,
Deerfield said. And? Deerfield nodded to his right, towards Blake and Lamar and Bolton.
And these agents think it was somebody exactly like you.
So?
So we asked you all those questions.
And?
And I think they're absolutely right. It was somebody exactly like you. Maybe it even was you.
No, it wasn't me, Reacher said.
Blake smiled.
That's what they all say.
Reacher stared at him.
You're full of shit, Blake. You've got two women, is all.
The army thing is probably a coincidence. There are hundreds of women out there harassed out of the army, maybe thousands. Why jump on that connection? Blake said nothing. And why a guy like me? Reacher asked. That's just a guess, too, and that's what this profiling crap comes down to, right? You say a guy like me did it because you think a guy like me did it. No evidence or anything.
There is no evidence, Blake said.
The guy didn't leave any behind, Lamar said. And that's how we work. The perpetrator was obviously a smart guy, so we look for a smart guy. You're saying you're not a smart guy?
Reacher stared at her. There are thousands of guys as smart as me.
No, there are millions, you conceited son of a bitch, she said. But then we started narrowing it down some. A smart guy, a loner, army, knew both victims, movements unaccounted for, a brutal vigilante personality. That narrowed it down from millions to thousands, to hundreds, to tens, maybe all the way on down to you.
There was silence.
Me? Reacher said to her. You're crazy.
He turned to Deerfield, who was sitting silent and impassive.
You think I did it?
Deerfield shrugged.
Well, if you didn't, it was somebody exactly like you, and I know you put two guys in the hospital. You're already in big trouble for that. This other matter, I'm not familiar with the case, but the Bureau trusts its experts. That's why we hire them, after all.
They're wrong, Reacher said.
But can you prove that?
Reacher stared at him.
Do I have to? What about innocent until proven guilty?
Deerfield just smiled.
Please, let's stay in the real world, okay?
There was silence.
Dates, Reacher said. Give me dates and places.
More silence. Deerfield stared into space.
Callan was 7 weeks ago, Blake said. Cook was 4.